Welcome, I'm Rhonda.
And I'm Jared.
And this is
Why Conversations,
where we inspire,
engage,
uplift,
and motivate change around our YMCAs.
Brought to you by YMCA of Delaware, Spark Studios.
Hello, 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 and welcome to our special Women's History Month episode of the podcast, Why Conversations. I'm Jared. My friends call me Professor Truth.
Who are your friends, Jared?
Okay, I don't know, but I got some.
I'm Rhonda, just Rhonda. I don't have no AKAs or anything. I'm just Rhonda, and I'm excited to be here with you today, Jared. Welcome back. With me.
Well, in honor of Women's History Month, Rhonda rocks the mic today.
Rhonda rocks the mic, okay. And we're going to do that today. But March is a special time. It's a time to honor and celebrate the incredible contributions of women throughout history. And we're thrilled to be diving into that topic today.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm excited about it. And what better way to celebrate Women's History Month than highlight the significant contributions of the wonderful women who work and lead this organization and that we call the YMCA of Delaware.
Right. And we have some amazing, I can go on for days, amazing women within our YMCA organization. And the Y has a rich history of diversity and inclusion. And women have played a vital role in shaping the organization's values and mission.
You know, I think that's the first thing we ever agreed on, that we have some wonderful women working in this organization.
Why would that be the first thing? I thought we agreed on plenty more other things than that.
I don't know about that. But
we're dressed alike today, so we agreed on one thing. We dress with the same color. You would agree with that, right?
We're amazing.
Okay, we're amazing.
We agree on that. That's right. From trailblazing pioneers who broke barriers and dedicated leaders who continue to drive positive change today. We're going to explore these inspiring stories of the women who have made history in the YMCA.
Yeah, and not just in the past, though. Women in our local communities are making meaningful contributions every single day. They're just doing amazing things.
Yeah, that's right. Whether it's through advocacy, volunteerism, or leadership, women are shaping the future, not only of the YMCA, but this country.
Right. So join us as we celebrate the legacy of female leaders within the YMCA. I'm really excited and we're going to shine a spotlight on some incredible women that we have right here in our studio with us today who continue to make a difference in our branches and throughout the YMCA organization.
Well, if you want to join this conversation, don't forget to use the hashtag Women's History Month. You get it?
Hashtag
Women's History.
Yeah. Hash Women's History. We just talked about hash browns earlier,
No, but before you get hash browns, you gotta get a hashtag.
All right, Jared, let's get started.
Before we get started, though, into this deep and meaningful conversation with today's guest, let's just acknowledge that there have been women across the country doing big things to help advance the women's suffrage movement. When I think about great women, I think about Elizabeth Cade Stanton and Susan B. Anthony. I encourage every young woman and men to look them up and understand their story. In 1869, they founded began the women's suffrage movement, which led to the 19th Amendment. You know, the 19th Amendment gave women the right to vote. You know, how important is that? You know what
it's
I mean?
It's important.
You know, and not only were they inspiring to other young women during that time, they paved the path for other great women like Rosa Parks, who was the mother of the civil rights movement, and Tarana Burke, who had the courage to start the Me Too movement.
Right.
A lot of folks don't know her story. You know, before Me Too was Me Too, in 2006, she stood up and protested against the injustice against women in the workplace.
That's awesome.
And let's acknowledge right here locally, Ruth Miner, the first female governor.
Yes.
And one of my favorites, Lisa Blunt Rochester, the first woman congressman.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So I'm excited to know all that. And just as you were talking, I was just looking over some information. And it says a higher percentage of women 18 years and older were registered to vote and participated more in the voting process than men.
Yeah.
That's amazing, right?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Right. And then over 60% of college degrees awarded in the U.S. every year are earned by women. Now, that makes me feel really inspired, and because I want to go to school. So yeah. Just to know that, you know, I can still make a difference. I can still go. I'm not that old.
No, you're not that old. No, age is not just a
age
number.
Age is not the, not the issue, right?
But do your knees hurt?
Well, my knees do hurt sometimes. Now, mind you, as we're celebrating this wonderful month of March and all these wonderful women, I turned 57 on the 12th of March. Wow, so, wow. Yeah. So I'm excited to know
birthday
that. Thank you. Thank you.
I forgot your birthday gift
yes,
at home.
Yes, I'm waiting. Yeah. I'm waiting for it.
Well, let's, Rhonda, start with you. Like, why is Women's History Month important to you?
Well, it's important to me because it lets me, well, I know that I can do anything. Like, I feel like I'm not hindered by being a female. Mm-hmm. I'm not hindered by my gender. I'm not hindered by the things that a lot of people may think, you know, are an issue. Being a woman is amazing.
Yeah.
It's an awesome opportunity, and I love it. The one thing I do love about it is just being able to, you know, be a mom. I love being a mom to my kids. So having that ability to be who I am, which is a woman, and to be able to raise and rear my children, I feel like that's really important for me. So.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you sharing that. And for me, Women's History Month is particularly important because my leadership is inspired by women.
Right.
I have three incredible women in my life, matriarchs, that led the way for me to be who I am today.
Right.
I had two fantastic grandmothers, one called Grandma, the other one called Nana.
Right.
And then I have a fantastic mother who was a hero to me.
Yeah. Well, that's good because I feel the same way. So my mom, you know, didn't fail to mention, but my mom was a driving force in who I am today and who I sit here to be today as well. As a mother and as a grandmother. So, yeah, I can relate to that. So I'm glad to know that. So I'm glad to have who we have with us sitting today in our studio. And I'm going to just say their names and I'm gonna give them an opportunity to introduce themselves and tell us what they do at the YMCA. I have Ms. Jim McPherson and I also have Ms. Carolyn Cross. So who wants to go first?
Jen, do you want to go first, seeing as how your name is introduced first?
Sure, Carolyn.
I'm happy to go, but I want to, you know,
women
I want to be polite.
Women,
listen, like
I'll go first. I'll take it first. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for having me today and for inviting me to speak on the podcast.
Yes.
It's amazing to be a part of this, and I feel like I'm on the ground floor of something that's going to be really, really awesome in the future and moving forward. So thank you for having me. I'm the Vice President of Membership and Programs here at the YMCA of Delaware. I am a Delaware native, born and raised, and I graduated in 2005 from the University of Delaware in the Hotel, Restaurant, and Institutional Management program. So that's a little bit different than what the Y is, but I ended up here. I am a wife to my husband, Kevin, and I have two wonderful babies, Finn, who is about to start high school, so he's not really not a baby anymore.
They always stay babies, though.
They're always my babies. And Piper, who will be going into middle school next year, so I love being a mom, too. I was brought to the Y in 2019 to help grow membership, and then, of course, COVID hit in 2020 and kind of blew everything up.
Wow.
And obviously, my role has pivoted over the years, and now I oversee so much more in the Y, and I've really been blessed to have such great opportunities within the Y as a woman to experience so many different aspects of the YMCA, and I love it. Just some little fun facts about me. I'm a lover of all humans. I love humans. I'm a hugger. And I also love to laugh. Jarrett loves my laugh.
Oh, I do too.
Oh yeah, see
I
that?
Do so. Yeah.
I love. I.
just you know when Jen's around. I've been trying to practice.
No,
almost.
Yeah, okay.
Almost.
Yeah,
right. You're close. No, you're close.
Okay. I've been working on it.
I love to run, and as a side note, I was recently diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and March is also Multiple Sclerosis Awareness Month. So those are just some facts about me.
All right.
Carolyn, your turn.
All right. Well, thank you, Jen, and thank you for having me here today. When
Welcome.
I was asked to be part of this, I was like, ooh, I got to be on a podcast. I've never done this before, so this is super exciting. But a little bit about who I am. My name is Carolyn Cross, and I'm the Vice President with the YMCA here in Delaware, and I oversee the Brandywine YMCA as well as providing support to our Western Y. I also get to spend a little bit of time with our aquatic staff across the association too, and helping to provide leadership there. But the Y for me has really helped shape who I am as a person. I've been with the Y for over 15 years now, and I've served now, and this is my third association. And I really do attribute so much to who I am personally and professionally as a result of what the Y has provided for me and what I have been able to commit to the Y, because I feel it's a reciprocal relationship. The Y has given to me and I have given to the Y. But a little bit about who I am as a person. So I'm not born and raised in Delaware, as everyone else.
No, you're kidding us.
No, I thought you were. I have a wee bit of an accent, right? Just a wee bit.
Just a little bit.
So I was actually born in Scotland, and I moved to the United States in 2002. So I was 22 years of age, and I moved to the United States for a coaching opportunity. So I used to be a swimmer in my younger years. And I had an opportunity to coach down in South Florida with some USA Swim programs. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. I thought that was going to be my career. And then I was like, you know, I don't think this is what I want to do forevermore. I had an awesome career as an athlete, and I was very blessed when it came to the opportunities as a coach. But I knew that there were some other things that I wanted to do aside from just being a swim coach. So I actually left the Y and thought, well, how can I keep aquatics in the realm of what I'm doing, but be able to help maybe lead and manage folks? And that's when we use the words manager instead of a leader. So I actually stumbled on a job with the YMCA as an aquatics and fitness director. And in March 16th, 2009 is when I started my career with the YMCA. And it was the best decision I ever made. Worked in North St. Louis, a very underserved community in North City, St. Louis. And honestly, it just changed my life from the relationships that I built to understanding what the Y is. It just really was a special place forevermore in my heart. So the Y has just been incredibly instrumental. Fast forward, who else am I? I'm a daughter. My mom still lives in Scotland. I'm a wife. I actually, little fun fact about me, used to be married. I'm on my second marriage now. But my first marriage was actually to a man, and I came out when I was 30 years of age. And so that for me was a change in my life. And, you know, I'm now at a point in my life where I really just get to thrive as the person that I am. So there's so much that I'm just truly grateful for. And moving to the States has just been a blessing.
I think it's great when you're able to just be your authentic self.
Absolutely.
I think people really get a chance to see the essence of who you are as a person instead of trying to hide behind things. So kudos to you. And I'm just mesmerized because I love the Scottish accent. I'm just like, Carolyn, you can talk the whole time, even though you can't talk the whole time. But you can, Carolyn.
I know, because I think that, then that wouldn't be a podcast. That would just
me and you having a conversation, because I'm just like, Carolyn, just keep on talking so I can hear you talk. But I love your accent.
What about my French accent?
I didn't hear it.
I said French fries.
French fries is not a French accent.
I want to ask both of you an important question. You talked about your mom. What women in your past were influential on who you are today?
Jen. She looking around like, not me, not me. It's you, Jen.
Don't pick me. Don't pick me. I've had so many inspirational women. It's really hard to pick just one or two. But obviously, my mother and grandmother both played a very large part in who I am today. My grandmother was a visionary for the family. And so we grew up on a farm, and she saw a need, a financial need, that she needed to help fulfill aspects of their business and their farming. So she went back to school and she became a florist and started her own business, her own florist and a catering business. Became widely successful throughout the state. And she did that up until her death. She died of breast cancer when I was in seventh grade. But she didn't take any BS. I mean, she did it all. She was amazing, and she really shaped who I am and gave me drive. And so I learned that from my grandmother and then also my mother. My dad left my mom when I was in second grade. Wow. And she had to learn all over again. She hadn't gone into the workforce. And so she had to start from scratch. So she got another job, and then she really, really drove home what hardworking, resilient, dedicated means to me. Wow. And she is just so important to me. But outside of that, I work with some really great women, and I'm all about the unsung heroes, because you can be the face of a movement and do some really amazing things, but there's a lot of people that do small things that make such impact on our communities and our environment.
That's real.
And so I wanted to be a doctor back in the day. That's what my dream was. So I read the book Gifted Hands from Dr. Ben, about Dr. Ben Carson. Yeah. And he really attributes his success to his mom. He came from a rough childhood, and his mom actually just had a third grade education, she wanted more for him, and she really pushed him and drove him to his success. And he became this world-renowned neurosurgeon separating conjoining twins, and he contributes that to his mother because she wanted more for him. And then my last one, and I'll stop, is the current inspiration is Emily Glading in our association office. And we really don't see what Emily does, but she is the driving force behind everything that we do in this organization, all of our processes, and that whole team. They are really unsung heroes and the glue that keeps us together that we don't even know is there. So I just want to give credit to Emily Glading. I was at a conference this week with her, and she sat amongst a team of men who were looking at her, and she commanded the room and was giving advice. She was amazing. And so I'm so proud to work with some amazing women in this organization.
I've always said we need to replicate her.
We do. We do.
Yeah.
We need to come up with a machine, put her in, and have a few more come out.
We do.
I'm going to business if we can figure that out
together. I'll figure that out. Maybe I can retire.
Well, so what about you, Caroline?
Yeah, so kind of similar to Jen, I think about my nana and my mom. So my nana was my mom's mother, and she actually was born and raised in Athens, Greece. And she moved over to Scotland when she met my papa when she was 18 years of age. So she took that courageous move to go from where she was born and raised and move for love with my papa. And she was just...
It's the papa for me.
Oh, I love it.
My papa.
My nana and my papa, they're my people. And the other cool thing is my nana, I was actually born on her birthday. So Antonia is my middle name, which was my nana's first name. And I actually have a tattoo of it as well in ancient Greek. And so she just led a life of so much courage. And she was just a powerhouse. And I just absolutely loved her. And she was so influential for me. And she would take me on vacation with her. So I got to go to Athens, Greece every summer for a month up until I was about 10 years of age with my nana. And just spending some real quality time with her. My mom, my parents got divorced when I was 14, and I pretty much had an absent father my whole life. So my papa was a little bit more like my father figure, even although my dad was still in our life. And my mom has just been this, she's super stubborn. she is like a dog with a bone. But she will get things done, and she would do absolutely whatever it took in order for my brother and I to have. She was a teacher, an educator, and she provided the opportunity for me to be part of sports. And sport has always been such a big part of my life. And in addition to my mom, there was also my PE teacher in high school. So I grew up in a town of about 20,000 people. There was two high schools. And my PE teacher in high school, I actually knew her from the time that I was like a little baby, and my mom would take me to school and I would get to be in the PE department. So I was running around playing badminton and hitting volleyballs and playing basketball. But growing up as a kid in Scotland, we were segregated from the boys when it came to playing sports. So the girls did girls sports and the boys did boys sports. So girls didn't get to do basketball.
Oh, wow.
So for everyone that asked me,
look
did
how
I
the world
grow
has
up?
Changed now,
right? It's totally changed. But for everyone that asked me, did I play basketball? No, I did not play basketball growing up. I played volleyball. I was a swimmer, and I was so grateful for the opportunities that I had through swimming. But my PE teacher got me involved in volleyball outside of school, got me involved in field hockey. And I was just one of those kids that I could just pick up sports and just dive right in. Right. And I had an aptitude for sports. So sport has always been such a big part of my life, which I think has helped shape the person that I am today, and maybe some of the confidence and the humility that I have as a person because of what I've been able to do through sports.
Right. Yeah, amazing. You know what? This conversation is so important.
It is.
Because now I understand both Jen and Carol Ann little bit better. I mean, I understand why Carol Ann's stubborn now and like a dog on a bone. I got it now.
I wasn't saying me too on that part because I don't know when I asked that, Carol, so I'll take that back.
I got it now.
So I've now changed it. So it's not a dog with a bone. Okay. It's patiently persistent.
Oh, okay.
Persistent.
That sounds real cute, Rhonda.
Right.
That's what I like
how
to say.
It sounds. But, patiently persistent.
But you heard in her earlier. So she said dog on a bone. Now she's switching it up a little bit.
Well,
it's Women's History Month. So
well,
it's
massage in the language. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Us women change our minds very often. So what are some of the challenges that you see that us as women face it today? Like, what are some of the challenges that you say, that you see, Jen?
Well, for me, being a vice president and trying to manage work at home too.
Right.
So I feel like I'm constantly on. Yeah. I'm constantly at work. I check out from one job and check into the next, and it never ends. And sometimes the crossover is really challenging when you're trying to schedule appointments for your kids or have important work meetings. It really does challenge your mental health sometimes. I feel like that women still are challenged with anxiety, not feeling good enough.
Yeah.
Mm. I personally struggle with that constantly, is not being good enough, whether it's at home or at work. I feel like I'm three different people at all times, and you can't give everything to all three at all times.
Right.
So that becomes a real challenge. I think childcare in general is really hard for women in the workforce today. Mm. And trying to really just balance everything, the balance work, life, stress, and then turning it off when I go home.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing, turning everything off and just having time for me.
Right.
So those are just some of the things that I think women really struggle with today.
Yeah, and you've been dealing with personally this medical issue you've been dealing with too. And that finding time for yourself is so important.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. And I have to make time. I have to almost schedule time now to get up early to go work out for me time.
Right.
And
so
that becomes another scheduling piece to my day.
Right.
But it's so important to be healthy and ensure that moving forward, I'm the healthiest, best version of myself.
Because if you think about it, when you're in a situation on the airplane, what do they tell you to do first?
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a situation where if the oxygen mask falls first, what
That's
are you
right.
supposed to do first?
Mm-hmm. You're supposed to put it on yourself and then you take care of the people around you.
You take care of the people, And I think that's part of the issue with a lot of us. It's not just women as well. It's just everyone in general. It's always hard to take care of you first and then you want to hurry up and take care of somebody else, but you got to be the best version of yourself. Take care of yourself. So if that's waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, running to the gym, or just waking up 4 o'clock in the morning to do some meditation, whatever that is, just take time for yourself. So I'm glad to know that, because it is a life work balance type of situation where you're just always, how do I do this? How do I get from here to that? And I got to do this and I got to do that. So it's a lot. It's
it
a lot
is.
Being a mom. It's a lot being a wife. It's a lot being a sister. Mm-hmm. It's a lot being a daughter. It's a lot, because there's a lot of things you got to juggle.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree on that. And I think that there's so much that we have done to move the narrative forward around challenges that women see in the workforce, challenges that we see today. Those challenges were not even, a figment of the imagination 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
So when we think about just some of the ways in which things have changed, but still with that, it's, how do you strike that balance?
Right.
And, in my position that I have today, I have a position of influence and I have an ability to make sure that the people that report under me, at least I can have the ability to treat them the way that maybe I was not treated in my younger years or people that came before me.
It's important.
And so for me, that's something that I take very, very important and to heart. And I want to make sure that I can show up as my most authentic self every single day.
Right.
So on those days, if I see that someone is maybe struggling a little bit, maybe they're a little bit behind on where they need to be at, well, do you need to take the day and go and work from home? do you need to just be at home today so you don't have the distractions of being in here at the branch? Do you maybe need to take a couple of days off, right? Are you maybe getting to a point where there's multiple things that are going on? But that can be a blessing and a curse too, right? Mm-hmm. I just came back from a few days vacation. It was my birthday last week. So I'm a March birthday too. Yeah.
Do you want me to sing?
I would like to hear that. We'll get to that later.
Yeah. But, you know, I got to go spend some time with my brother and my sister-in-law, and they just had another kiddo in just before Halloween. So we had a 4-month-old and a 22-month-old. And just looking at the dynamic there, where she has started her own business and she's got two kids under the age of two.
Right.
And she's a dietitian with her own business at home. Right. And she's trying to provide for her family. I look at that personally for me and I was like, I'm going to disconnect from work while I'm going. I didn't take my laptop with me, which I was really proud of. But I still have my phone so I could still do emails. But the fact is, of even when you come back, there's that feeling of, oh, I've taken a couple of days off. Now I've got to jump back in and get caught up. And there's that stress. Right. So there's so many pieces that are still going on in the workforce. There's still the gender bias. There's still unequal pay that's happening. You know, there's, depending on where you go at different parts of the country, that's more prevalent than others. There's limited representation in leadership roles. I remember years ago, and Jarrett, you remember this, where we had the jelly bean jars with the Y, right?
Yes.
And it was to basically showcase a disparity from being part-time employee, full-time employee, director, then being an executive, and then a CEO, right? And they showed the jelly bean jar, which was representation of females in those roles.
Oh, wow.
So guess what roles had more females?
Childcare.
So it was the full-time directors, it was the part-time staff. But then as you started to move through the continuum into the executive director role or into the C-suite, it became less and less. And then you got to the C-suite and it was next to nothing. And I'm talking maybe like 2014, 2015, I think that this is when this came out as far as just something for us to relate to within the why. And I'm proud to see that that has started to change. But even still, if you look at female leadership in the YMCA, yes, we have a female CEO leader with Suzanne at YUSA. Yes. We do have other female leaders across the movement at different associations. But even still, if you look at some of our big powerhouse YMCAs within our movement here, there's not a lot that you can say that are female CEOs. It's still very much male dominated. So there has been some moves within that specific narrative there. But I'm just excited to see that continue to evolve and to see some of our other leaders, you know, come up into that role.
I'm curious. I mean, I appreciate you both for that transparency. You know, I think about this question all the time. When you think back to your younger version of yourself, like think back 20 years, what would you say to yourself? Like, what advice would you give the younger version of yourself?
Well, are you asking me? Oh, you're not asking me.
No, I ain't asking
You was asking me, because if you was asking me, I can go, you're asking Jen.
Rhonda, don't rock the mic.
All right, sorry. It's for our guests.
Yes.
So one of the best pieces of advice I got from, actually, I call him my big brother, and sadly he passed away 2 years ago, actually, this month. And he was my first supervisor within the YMCA. And he asked me the question, Caroline, do you want to be a participant in your career or a bystander in your career? And so when I think about how some of my things had evolved for me, it just, they happened in my younger years just because. And I wasn't making necessarily intentional choices for that to be the case. And so now as I, from 2009 onward, and I sit and really reflect and I've made decisions within my career, I came from Seattle where I was working, and prior to that I was in St. Louis. I moved out of coaching. They were all calculated, intentional decisions. So I would say to myself not to be fearful to make those harder decisions. And for me, not to have fear when it comes to that and to really rely on my gut and head and not let my heart lead in decisions. Because I did make one decision and I went to go work with family when I lived down in South Florida. And for me personally, working with family was not healthy.
Not so healthy.
That would be That would be a learning lesson.
That was
for
your
me.
Younger self saying it. Not healthy.
Not healthy. I was like, but I wouldn't change it, right? I'm a believer of not changing the things because what I have gone through has influenced and created the person that I am today. Yeah. So I wouldn't want to change that trajectory. Mm-hmm. But I know that I have learned so much from the experiences that life has given me to be the person that sits here before you today.
Boy, I think we got to make a new Marvel character. They got Wonder Woman. I think we got Carol Ann Cross.
I've dabbled in triathlons and my training group that I had down in Florida. Mm-hmm. My nickname was the Scottish Flyer.
Oh, okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Scottish Flyer. That sounds pretty good, Carolyn. Yeah?
Jen, I'm actually going to give you sort of a modified version of that. Right? Okay. She was talking to the younger version of herself. I want you to talk to young teens and young adults, right? What advice would you give to young folks just starting out their career, young women starting out their career?
So I feel like women, the teens today, have so much up on where I was.
Yeah.
20 years ago, maybe 25. I'm trying to do the math.
You look great, Jen.
But it's important for teens to understand that it's okay to fail and to not be perfect. Right. And I struggle with this all the time. I'm a self-proclaimed perfectionist, and it really, it's done me well in some instances, but in others, it hasn't. Yeah. So it's okay to fail and take calculated risks. It's okay to say no, especially if you feel uncomfortable, and you should really trust your gut and your heart in every situation because they won't lead you wrong.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're beautiful. Mm. You're a beautiful person and you really should strive to be the best version of yourself at all times, but know that you are beautiful inside and that someone loves you out there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that compliment. I'm beautiful. I feel beautiful.
I feel beautiful too. I do. I'm sitting amongst from a whole bunch of beauty right now.
From the inside out. From the inside out.
I love the fact that when Carolyn talked about fear, like fear can really, really kind of keep us doing a lot of amazing things because we're just so fearful of an outcome that we don't even know what the outcome's going to be. So even before we get to that point, we're just like, I don't want to do that. I'm too scared to do that. So, and then just to know that we're beautiful, Jen, you know what? You was my mentor. And you're amazing. I mean, I'm just going off kilter because that's just me. But I love who you are as a person. You're beautiful, both of you.
Thank you, Rhonda.
I feel very inspired. I feel very grateful to be sitting amongst both of you today, as well as Jerry.
Oh, thank you.
Being amongst Jen and Carolyn, and just kind of feel the energy and all the greatness that exudes from both of you is amazing.
Yeah,
so.
I just have to tell y'all both, I'm really proud, I'm inspired, and I'm a better version of myself because y'all are part of this organization. Yeah. So I appreciate what y'all do every day and the way you do what you do for this organization. I actually was, as we thought about this episode, Rhonda, I was thinking like Carol Ann, Jen, and Julie, who's in this room, sort of in the background all the time.
Yes.
They have like these superpowers.
Yes.
They really do. And it really gives them a strategic advantage. Yes. They have empathy. They have understanding. Yes. They're strategic. They're thoughtful. Just give me some of that.
Yeah.
Give me some of that. Let me get some of that. Share some of that good stuff that I think really helps you to do the work we do in communities.
Right.
At that next level, right? I call it level five leadership.
Yeah.
They're rolling at level five.
Yeah, we got some amazing women in this organization. So I'm excited to be amongst this organization. Mm-hmm. I feel like I happenstance upon it. I wasn't a triathlon swimmer or anything. I wasn't a swimmer. I wasn't doing anything great. I just wanted to come into the Y just for one purpose, and that was to work out. But found a place and a purpose here that I absolutely love and have been afforded the opportunity to kind of continue to grow and to move into places and be amongst the people that I'm amongst. So I feel like the Y is great.
Yeah, yeah. And we have still, you know, as we celebrate women's history and we celebrate these beautiful leaders in our organization, we have to still acknowledge we have so much work to still do. You know, 60% of all college degrees today go to women.
Yeah.
Yet only 10% of the Fortune 500 CEO jobs are women.
Wow.
Right? When you think about what Carol Ann said, like women for the same job as men earn still less than.
Less.
We can't be okay. And last, you know, when we think about on a national stage in politics and legislation, only 7% of Congress is made up of women. Mm-hmm. So we still got a lot of work to do. But I feel like confident that we're on our way with such great leaders here because you guys are inspiring the next generation. You don't know that when you walk in your branch every day, some young lady, some young man is looking at you and your leadership and being inspired. Mm-hmm. And so there might be a president one day that goes, I heard that podcast and Carol Ann Cross and Jen McPherson was saying that I just have to be the better version of myself. So thank you.
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate it. So, Jared, as a CEO and you're running this great organization, how do you promote women within the organization? How do you get them from here to there? And how do you kind of gather around them for the things that, you know, they're wanting to do in the organization?
Yeah, first, let me just clarify. I ain't running nothing. I have these great leaders are running everything. I just happen to sit in the seat sometime I get to make some of the hard decisions. But I think greatness finds its way to be illuminated. Mm-hmm. It finds its light. And when you see greatness as a leader, you got to let it shine.
Right.
And so my job is to put people in position where they can shine the best, take their God-given talents and put it to work. And when they put it to work, the smart leader knows to get out their way. And so my job is to get out people's way every day and to put my words into action by recognizing that greatness, right? Yeah. By compensation, by titles, by opportunity. Yeah. And I'm really proud that I've done that, not only here in Delaware, but in my career. And so I'm a champion for greatness, and I'm amongst some very great women every day.
Mm-hmm. Every day, mm-hmm. every day. So I think that, you know, as we get ready to close, it is important for us to kind of recognize and to continue to do the work that needs to get done as it relates to women and how we continue to propel forward and to move forward. Carolyn, do you have any closing remarks that you would like to add to this conversation, how we move forward and what are some of the things, how we can get there?
I think just remain consistent.
Yeah.
I always say that be curious, right? Don't ever stop asking questions. I think one of the beautiful things that we have as women, as leaders, whether male or female, is that if we're curious about people, then we can develop love, we can develop relationships, and we can move and propel ourselves forward into a better light. I think that that's one of the biggest things that's hindering us of who we are today. And be just willing to listen.
Yeah.
There's so much power in listening to what someone has to say and actually really hearing the words that come from them. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, be courageous.
Yeah. And I think that too is as well as understand that we all had differences. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So those differences is what make us who we are today. So those differences can align us with a general purpose or a common purpose that we can have together. But just understand that I'm not Jared. Jared's not me. So we have a difference of opinion. But we can all still kind of come together and find a common ground with that difference.
Oh, yeah. Together we are great.
Yeah, we're great.
Look at the way we look today.
I sent Jared an email and I said, Jared, we wearing green. He said, okay. What'd you call yourself?
And you both
Fashion X will have on something great. And Fashion X, if I could snap a picture, looks amazing.
Well, and it's forest green as well. Through. It's forest green.
Yes,
forest green. I just wanted to roll the R's for you there.
Wait a minute, say it one more time. So I can...
Forest green.
Green. Forest green. I just need an accent one day. Jen, just go ahead because I can go on cracking jokes forever. Like, this is hilarious to me.
I just say the work we do here in the Y is crucial in supporting women and supporting the communities. And so I think we all need to continue to do the great work in our communities, in our Ys, and to spread the love across the state and across the country because we have the power to do so. Mm-hmm. With so many women, with so many great leaders, we have the power to make such a massive impact and to change the world.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we could keep going on for days because I feel like we can. We could do anything. I think someone said you can put do anything you can put your mind to, but I feel like it's, you can do anything that's inside of you with your ability to do it, as opposed to your mind, because sometimes your mind just doesn't line up with the thing that you want to do. But the ability inside of you, the passion and the drive that you have,
yeah. Your heart,
I think, yes, allows us to do that thing at its best.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's really important message that Carol Ann said about having courage, because yes. So much of women have this like great instincts.
Yes.
And sometimes those that what Jen talked about, that shadow inside you, yes. that little gazoo, that little mm-hmm. other person mm-hmm. inside of you is telling you not to do something, but being yeah. courageous to push past
absolutely.
That fear.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we still got work to do in Hollywood, too, because Hollywood's not always casting women
right.
in the roles that best depict their strength
right.
in their courage. Mm-hmm. And so I just inspired by you all's ability to move past those stereotypes to do what you do every day.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. And I think that will be it. Jared, I appreciate you.
I'm hungry anyways.
I'm hungry too. It is our lunchtime.
It is time.
Or it's time
tots.
To eat or tater
give me some tots tater
and
tots.
The taters.
And a drink.
And a drink.
Or water.
So we appreciate you listening to our episode. We thank our guests who are in the studio with us today. And everyone, have a great, great rest of your day. We do appreciate you for stopping in today. Thank you, Jen. Yeah. Thank you, Caroline. Did I say it right, Caroline?
You got Carol, it. You got it. Caroline.
I got it right.
Like Poltergeist.
Yeah. And Julie in the background.
And Julie. Now, Julie is our unspoken person who runs around and just runs us.
Yes.
Her
yes.
and Kenny.
Yes.
But me and Jared, we're going to have a conversation about that.
We got this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got it. But we appreciate you listening today. Have a great rest of your day.
All right.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the YMCA of Delaware Spark Studios. This has been another episode of Why Conversations. If you feel ignited, hop on over to our streaming platforms and tell your friends. Don't forget to be the spark for change.